Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Fryer, let's go.
At the 12 and 8 safe.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
We are going to talk about DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls and their place in the Eastern Conference with Ahmad K. Smith. You can check him out, Slam Online, no pump fakes. Watching what's going on with DeMar, how do you explain what we're seeing from him?
I've been saying it all year. DeMar DeRozan, in my eyes, is the MVP of the league. It's just, it doesn't sound sexy because it's DeMar DeRozan. If it was anybody else, Luka Doncic, who knows, Trae Young, people be talking about, oh, they deserve to be the MVP, but DeMar DeRozan, nobody wants to give him his credit and his flowers. But DeMar DeRozan's been playing phenomenal, averaging 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 51% from the field, also 35% from the three-point line. People love to talk about, well, he's not a three-point shooter, he's not doing this and that. He'd even have like a decent percentage this year for three. So it's just kind of like, to me, he has to be the MVP. And the reason why I believe he's the MVP, because he's been the main constant for Chicago Bulls this entire year. Alex Caruso's been out, Zach LaVine's been out, but DeMar DeRozan's the answer to the bell. They'd be winning without those guys. And then DeMar DeRozan's been the main, like, contributor to their success. So that's why I feel like, yo, you have to, like, give DeMar DeRozan the edge for the MVP race.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
It's Monday, y'all! Bass drop! Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. Is today a baseball deadline or not? I don't know. We are going to talk basketball today. We're going to talk a little bit of football. Something really cool happened at my alma mater this weekend. I want to share that. But when we come back, we'll talk with Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe. Is today a deadline for Major League Baseball? We will discuss next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
There was good discussion back and forth for a number of days. And I had to get out of there yesterday before the second session. But just kind of disappointing that there hasn't been more progress on actually crossing things off the list.
Ian Happ is kind of our unofficial correspondent from the CBA negotiations between the players and the owners. Today is a deadline. If you can't see me on Twitch, I am using air quotes. I want to get some firsthand knowledge of what's going on. So we are going to have a conversation about what is going on in the world of baseball. Michael Silverman covers sports business. He covers baseball for the Boston Globe. He's nice enough to join us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael's actually down in Florida right now. Michael, before we get to the ins and outs, I saw that you tweet something that actually might be super important for the Score listener and probably people in Boston too. What's going on with MLB TV or MLB.TV and people's renewals for MLB.TV?
Yeah, well, just happened. Yeah, it was a few minutes ago, actually. We all, you know, saw on Twitter that they said that, I believe today was a deadline for renewing subscriptions. I'm not totally on the inside when it comes to how that whole subscription setup is. But I've been noticing some chatter on Twitter about people, you know, some kind of movement about don't renew your subscription today. I guess it renews automatically or something. But anyway, MLB TV released a statement basically saying that, you know, you don't have to renew your subscription today. We'll wait until a new CBA is finalized. So on the one hand, that's probably a somewhat good PR move to salvage the relationship with customers, but also could be a sign that, look, we're probably not going to get a deal today. So just please come back when there is a CBA is kind of the message there.
What did you think of this self-imposed deadline by the owners about chopping games?
You know, it's just like the lockout is self-imposed. So is this deadline. I mean, I understand that at one level that there has to be, you know, a moment where logistically you do have to announce the delay to games. And I get that the owners think players need 4 weeks. You know, deadlines, there's, you know, in negotiations, that's kind of standard procedure. So they want to have something out there. And whether that's meant to create urgency among the players, try to get them to fold and, you know, make them realize, oh, they're going to start losing money. But, you know, just like the lockout was imposed to create some urgency, it hasn't seemed to succeed, has it?
No, it doesn't. It's weird because I feel as if, and you're on the ground, like you're there dealing with both sides of this. I feel like the fans had a greater urgency in the middle part of this than both sides did. And now, we're here at the self-imposed deadline, and you start looking, going, wait, wasn't there 43 days when the two of you didn't talk? And that doesn't make a lot of sense for people that supposedly want a season to start.
Yeah, there's been a lot of you know, ironies, hypocrisies, however you want to look at it. The owners did not have to impose a lockout; they did, and then they waited. Their 42 days went without any communication between the sides. I think we all understood that, you know, once the prospect of losing games and losing paychecks and losing revenues became real and the threat of pain became real, we all knew that, you know, intensity of these negotiations would increase. But you would think that the side that introduced the lockout would, why not the next day attempt, well, maybe give 48 hours breather. Okay, fine. Let everyone get back to their nice houses, but then say, let's talk. But no, that was not the tack they chose. And they took a nice long vacation, and you know, it's hypocrisy, really.
Do you think that this will actually spur a deal on, or might it embolden the players to be like, okay, we will call your bluff on this one?
I do think there will be, look, I don't think there'll be a deal today. Whether they're making some progress, you know, I'm skeptical, doubtful. Right? They've had, 45 minutes of talks today. They began at 10 o'clock. Each side assembled here, they've had 45 minutes worth so far. The gaps are so significant. It's hard to believe they can get a deal. And you know, the owners want to start canceling games. I mean, if they're going to stick by their stance, we should be having the press conference tonight or tomorrow saying, well, we're every day we are actually scratching games. So for them to back down from the deadline would be kind of surprising at this point.
I wonder, though, Michael, when we're talking with Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe, I wonder if we might see them go, oh, well, we still want to keep talking. So I know that we had this deadline, but we feel like there's enough progress for us to not chop games off the schedule as of yet. I wonder if that's a fallback negotiation tactic that they might use.
It's possible. I think that the players have never agreed about the deadline. They said, well, that's what the owners say. We don't necessarily, you know, it's up to them to cancel games, just like it was up to them to impose a lockout. I think they think there's more time than a February 28th deadline. So if the owners wanted to do that, just keep your eye on if they do use that tack, like you just said. Watch and listen for what the players have to say as far as what kind of progress has been made here, because unless today is some kind of a, you know, huge advancement in peace talks. It would be MLB just trying to make one last ditch effort, I guess, to avoid the quote unquote disastrous outcome that Rob Manfred said there would be if the regular season schedule was impacted.
Michael, for the baseball fan that's listening to us talk right now, can you kind of give me a thumbnail sketch of the protocols that are in place, like how these negotiations work with the two sides and the caucusing that goes on each side?
And the what?
And the caucusing.
Yeah. So I'm literally standing across the street from Roger Dean Stadium here in Jupiter, Florida, a very unlikely place to hold negotiation talks, but the players asked for it, and this is the solution they found. Basically, the players show up in one side of the building where the players' parking lot is, and the union officials, they gather, they whoever brings coffee for the other person, it's done, and then they slowly walk into one end of the Cardinals' spring training home clubhouse. At the other end is another door which leads into the stadium itself here. This is the spring training home of the St. Louis Cardinals, as well as the Miami Marlins. And no, Derek Jeter's not here today. And anyway, they caucus inside an executive suite up in the one of the suites up in the bowl. And then whenever, you know, texts are exchanged, it's like, okay, we're ready. Are you ready for us? Then it's the owners or a team of negotiators from MLB, the lawyers, who walk over from the stadium. And they walk right in front of a swarm of media just watching to see them go. They walk into the Cardinals clubhouse, and that's where they meet. And these meetings have been going on. This is day 8. They usually begin at 1 p.m. Eastern, and they usually have been lasting about 4, 5, 6 hours. And for 7 days, there's been very little to show for it. But we have been monitoring the walks from suites to the clubhouse and parking lots to the clubhouse with breathless attention. And so that's kind of setting the scene there for you.
This is a weird question, but since you brought up the negotiators that are involved, how important or not important are Tony Clark and Rob Manfred in this?
Interesting you should ask. It wasn't until 3 days ago, we did not realize that Rob Manfred has been here every day at the stadium. He somehow comes in a different door, but he's he's up in the suite in the stadium caucusing with the owners and the negotiators. So then he arrived, and he just walks across the parking lot one day, and we found out later that he was there just to meet one-on-one with Tony Clark make some kind of a plea to, like, let's try to get these talks going. And then he walked away. We haven't seen him since. Tony Clark, we have not heard from. We see him every day. He's the largest man in that negotiating group. And, you know, we see him. We have not heard from him. I would expect if we get a Rob Manfred press conference, it'll be like Dallas back in December when the lockout started, that we'll probably see an opposing press conference from Tony Clark, as well as the top MLBPA negotiator, the lawyer, Bruce Meyer, who sat side by side and answered questions. But that would come after the any kind of MLB announcement.
Michael, I really appreciate the time. Thanks for the informative look on what's going on down there, and good luck to all of us. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you bet. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. That is Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe. I'm glad that he gave this was the thing that I wanted. Like, I wanted to know what the nuts and bolts were of, like, how this was going. So I hope that you got something out of that, because I've been hearing, like, oh, well, they do this. Like, they come together, and then they do the caucus thing where they go away. So I wanted to know, like, what that looked like from his perspective. So this is a really good report of what's happening down there. That this idea of the self-imposed deadline is really weird to me, too. Yes, I don't want players rushed into a season. I think pitchers need 5 weeks to get ready for a season. But you can scramble and get games back. So I always thought it was weird that MLB was acting like well, you know, if we can't get to March 1st without a deal, we're going to have to start chopping games. You don't really have to do anything because you've seen a mechanism, and I imagine the players would agree to it with some concessions about roster additions for doubleheaders and that sort of thing. By the way, I'm a fan of the seven-inning doubleheader. I didn't think I would be, but I kind of like it. And if that's the way you got to make up games and you end up with a five-year CBA that will make it so that we won't have to deal with this again next season, so be it. But it's the whole thing is just really, really disappointing, but not surprising. I hope the players get what they want. I'm going to take a break because unless there is some breaking news on this, I'm done talking about it for the day. And if you've been listening to this show, I've been trying to tell you, I'm not sure how we should even talk about this. But I thought that Michael was great. He was really, that's a good find, Brandon. Like, he was really, really good. I want to talk about what happened on Saturday night. I want to talk about DeMar. I want to talk about the Bulls versus the Heat. I've got some thoughts, and I want to share them with you next here on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's time for the 2-Minute Report. 2 minutes.
What?
Not one, but two.
Oh, say less.
It's time for the 2-Minute Report on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Can't wait. On the opening tip, it goes to Javonte Green with a two-handed slam dunk. And we start the ball game 6 seconds in. That's the second time, Bill, in 2.5 weeks he's led off the game with a dunk. Yep, on the tip. Adams holds and looks. And they got tied up and tripped by DeRozan. Adams on the seat of his pants, scrambling for the ball. And we are going to have a foul on DeMar DeRozan.
Wow.
And he got teched up by David Guthrie. You have got to be kidding
me. First of all, it was a travel because Adams started to stand up. He got on his knees and started to stand up. So it's a travel. I don't know how he calls a foul.
Kobe with a runner on the left angle. Used the window. No. Back right-handed slam. Javonte Green eating some rim here in Chicago.
That was nice.
With the 360 layup. He did that in Memphis against the Bulls, and he just went up on a 360, suspended in midair, and laid it in. That was pretty, Bill.
My goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Moran trying to take over this game, which he does, using the left hand on the left angle off the window, and Ja Morant with 30.
It's unbelievable. He averages 28 over the last 5 games, and he's just been having his way here tonight.
Levine, triple drive. Left side, DeRozan for three. Bam! DeMar DeRozan for three. In play to DeRozan against Kyle Anderson with a spin at the foul line. Double pump, up and under, got tied up, goes to the floor and turned it over. Kyle Anderson with the steal to Morant. Bulls need to foul as Levine from behind fouls Morant. And then we got a tech and DeRozan has been tossed. Dosunmu in front of us near hash mark, sideline left with Kyle Anderson on the ball. Anderson defending the Vooch, top side open three air. And that's going to do it. Zaire Williams catches the ball, dribbles it out, and the ball game is over. Memphis 116, Bulls 110.
You can't rely on, you know, guys to get you back into the game and win the game in the fourth quarter against good teams. It'll happen sometimes like we've done before, but it won't happen all the time.
That's true. Highlights courtesy of The Score. Chuck and Bill on the call. The Bulls lose Saturday night to Memphis. Man, I want to talk about Ja Morant. Now, Brandon, remember like, you know, 4 minutes ago when I said, I'm not going to talk about the whole MLB, MLBPA thing unless something happens? Well, guess what? Something happened. This is from Evan Dreilich, who's been one of the best reporters on this. This is what I retweeted it, but this is what he tweeted out. MLB today indicated a willingness to miss a month of games and took a more threatening tone than yesterday, sources briefed on the day's first meeting between MLB and the Players Association tell me. Not great, Bob. But it plays with what I've been saying. I think that they would eat 30 games. I think they'd be more, the owners would be happy to eat 30 games if they can get 14 teams into the playoffs and get that playoff revenue. But yes, there's a more threatening tone. That always works, man. In every facet of life, a more threatening tone is always the way to go.
The perfect way to go. Let me just yell at you real quick. Let me a little more threatening.
Look.
You got to do this or I...
Yeah. Look, I am someone who for sure uses it. Not a lot lately. I've mellowed in my old age, but I grab you in the collar occasionally.
You Bob Knighting people?
You know, occasionally. When I was young, much, 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 much younger. Long time ago. Long, 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 long time ago, as Bernie Mac would say. Were you watching Ja Morant? Like, I'm guessing you were watching the Bulls game because the ratings indicate that people are now really watching Bulls games. That dude, oh my God. You talk about fun. And he's everywhere. He's Roy Kent. He's here. He's there. He's every bleeping where. Ja Morant. Ja Morant. The 360 layup, the dunks. His willingness to be fearless, like, is so, he's got the athleticism of Derrick Rose and the fearlessness of Allen Iverson. That's a really good combination. And he's like, how are you going to stop that dude? More importantly, how are you going to stop Steven Adams from eating every rebound? I thought it was a typo when they were like, yeah, he's got 10 rebounds in the first quarter. Like, what? Somebody has to do something about that. They're a scary bunch. A real scary bunch. By the way, Adams finished with 12 points, 21 rebounds, 8 of them offensive. Not good. Here's what Ja Morant said about why he went off and had the crazy night of scoring 46 points against the Bulls.
Huge third quarter for you offensively. Did you see something in that third that opened up for you?
Yeah, I seen the Michael Jordan video that they played and the timeout. That got me going.
He got hyped. They played a Jordan video and he got hyped. Was it the video of him patting Mary J. Blige on the butt? Is that what got him hyped? Probably not. But that's good. I mean, you draw from every place. And the hope is that you end up spurring your own team on. It was a weird night because it's the first time in months that we've seen DeMar look uneven. And he was inefficient. Now, he rallied. He got them buckets in the third quarter. The over-under tonight is 30.5. I'm on the fence. I've been rolling with the overs, and it's been profitable. I'm on the fence tonight. Because there's a part of me that feels like DeMar about to go off. Like tomorrow, it feels like tonight is a 40-piece game for DeMar. And then I'm like, did what happened with the refereeing not being what he wanted in Saturday night's game, like throw him off his axis?
And don't sleep on the Heat either. One of the best defensive teams in the NBA.
Yep. I'm sitting on that one. I'm just kind of like, see where I don't think this is going to be a 10-unit night for me on FanDuel with DeMar. This might be a 1-unit night with me betting the over on DeMar. Because at this point, I don't want to bet against him. Like, I like it. Like, go, because Saturday I was sweating. Brandon, I was sweating. I was like, because I had a bad feeling Saturday morning. I'm like, I'm DeMar, I'm going to do this. And I was like, 29.5. I was like, no, it's DeMar. And midway through the second quarter, I was like, you dummy. You should have bet the under, you dummy. Because I think the under was plus 135. I was like, you dummy. You should. And then DeMar went, I was like, yeah! We are going to talk about DeMar and his running mate, Zach LaVine, Superman and Batman. We're going to talk about them both next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.